thinking about the gifts of Christmas. We're going to hand it over to Paul. He will share briefly with us.
Okay, well, my question for us today is, how would you explain Christmas if you were trying to explain it to someone who had never heard Christmas before? I mean, across the world people celebrate Christmas, but there's some places and some people who come to Australia where they've never heard of Christmas. And what would you say if you wanted to explain it to them? Would you explain that it's a festival of consumption? They say that the average Australian will spend $1,200 in the next month. In fact, it's a quarter of our personal spending for the year that we spend in 4 weeks. So we spend 3 months' worth of money in just 1 month. And for the retail sector, it's 60% of their profits that come in the month of December. So it's a very important time for the retail sector. And economists have been looking at this and considering this $25 billion price tag that Christmas carries and asking whether it's really a good idea. They've come up with this idea of deadweight loss. Apology to any economists among us. You can correct any facts that I get wrong. But deadweight loss is basically the difference between the price that you pay for something and its value. So they have done these surveys where they've looked at the price that people pay for Christmas presents in December, and then they've asked the recipients, what would you pay for it in January? What's its value to you? And I don't know if you've thought about your own Christmas presents here, but just say I go and I buy someone's $50 present, and then they were to be surveyed in January during Christmas sales, what they say that it's worth. Even if the difference is just 10%, then we're talking about billions and billions of dollars of deadweight loss. Well, that's one way that you could assess the value of Christmas. You could ask the recipients of these gifts what value they would place on the gifts in January. But you could also judge what value people place on Christmas by their actions. So the presents that I'll give to my kids, I've got a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, will be very exciting on the day. And they'll play with them all day long, but then by January they'll just be sitting on the shelf gathering dust. And you could assess the value of those gifts by their actions. And we're going to look at the story of Christmas today and see that really there's been different values that people have placed on Christmas right from the beginning. It's the case now that there's a difference between the price of Christmas and the value that people place on it. And there's been different values placed on Christmas right from the beginning. I'm going to ask Sandy to tell us a story about the original Christmas 2,000 years ago, which comes from the Bible.
Well, you see, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, was during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet wrote: but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Well, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi.
Well, in that story of the original Christmas, I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes thinking about the two different reactions to the news of Jesus' birth. I want us to think first of all about Christmas prized, and then I want us to think about a second reaction, Christmas despised. The first reaction was that of the Magi, these wise men who'd come from the East, and they were probably astrologers. Astrology these days we don't really value as a science, do we? But it was a really respected science in those days. It was the kind of science that would exist in the king's court. And these people had seen a sign in the stars. We're not sure exactly what it was. With our modern understanding of astronomy and combining our historical knowledge of there in the East astrology, we can guess that around the time of Jesus' birth, there was a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, which they understood to be something to do with the Jews and could have led them across. But we don't really know. There might have been a supernova, which we have no evidence of today. But whatever it was, they were looking at the stars and they figured that a Jewish king had been born. And so they came to Jerusalem, which is where you'd expect to find a king. I mean, it was the capital of the Jewish empire, the Jewish area at the time. And so they go to the king there, probably turning up to the palace, and ask him, whereabouts has this child who's been born king, where is he? Well, they find out that he isn't actually there in the capital, that he's off in some little backwater, a little town called Bethlehem, and they go and they find him and they present him with gifts that are fit for a king. They prize the birth of this child. Now, of course, they're not the only leaders in history to have prized the birth of this child. Queen Elizabeth, who was here earlier on this year, a couple of years ago in her annual Christmas speech, decided because it was the millennium, she was going to talk about Jesus, the reason for the millennium. And she said that it's her conviction that she will personally be held accountable to Jesus. She believes this because of something that happened in history. His resurrection, he came back to life after he was killed. And so she lives her life in a way which she knows will be held by Jesus to account. Jesus, the story tells us, is the king even of leaders. Queen Elizabeth says he's the king even of kings. That's Christmas prize. The second reaction in the story is that of Herod. It's Christmas despised. Herod hears about the birth of his son and this child, and he's disturbed. And all the people living in his city in Jerusalem are disturbed as well. It's a curious little line, a curious little fact in the story, but we know now through other historical sources that King Herod was what we technically call a nutter. He had killed his wife and his kids because he was paranoid about the safety of his rule, even willing to kill his family. And so the people hear that there's an alternative king, and so they're worried about what King Herod will do next. Now, King Herod would have been particularly disturbed by the news from these magi that someone had been born king. Because he didn't become king by accident. He had travelled to Rome and manipulated the politicians of the day so that he would be appointed king over this Roman province. And he killed all of the other contenders, all of his other family members, so that they couldn't become king as well. He worked very hard to become king. And yet, here's the claim that someone has been born king. There's something inherent about their worth. So what does he do? His reaction is to massacre every child, every boy of similar age in the vicinity of Bethlehem. Now, I don't think there's anyone in Australia who would despise Christmas by trying to put Jesus to death. I think our danger is a much more passive one. That our danger is to despise Christmas by just ignoring the birthday boy. If you put on a birthday party and the birthday boy came along expecting to be celebrated, and you just asked him to sit in the corner silently while you got on with your fun and activities, that would be, well, it would be an insult to the birthday boy, wouldn't it? Well, Christmas has been given different values. We can quantify it and put a price tag on it, but we can also look at the actions of different people to see how much they value this festival. But it has an objective value as well. If it's true that Jesus really was given by God, then it has an opinion in his eyes as well. And if it's really true that these magi came, as the evidence suggests, then God took the trouble to write the value of this festival in the stars. He communicated that this child had, in fact, been born as a king. If we share this conviction with other leaders and rulers of the years, then we'll celebrate the King who will hold everyone to account, a King who has the power to set this world right. Jesus wants to be part of our Christmas celebrations. I've been inspired this year by Kate Brax. She's the latest MasterChef. She won MasterChef this year, not because of her cooking particularly this time, but because of the way she and her family celebrate Christmas. They celebrate it as a birthday party. They get up and the kids are blowing up balloons, and they make a big cake because they try to fit as many candles as they possibly can onto this cake. I doubt that they've got 2,000 on there. I once put 80 candles on a cake and it almost caught fire. But they do this because they want to remember that Christmas is in fact a birthday celebration. Birthday celebration of a king who was born 2,000 years ago. Which for me prompts the question, what value do I place on Christmas? What value do we place on Christmas? For me, it's always been a great time to spend with family and friends. But when I first read Matthew for myself as an adult, and then read the other biographies that we have of Jesus, written by his contemporaries, it became much more than that. The celebration of a child who one day will put this world right.